This is an interview with Dr. Michael Vuksta for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project by David Arms at his office on Belmont Avenue, June 3rd, 1975, 2:30 p.m. Dr. Vuksta, could you give me some of your family background or your own background?
I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 1926, which we lived there approximately some 9 years. At that time, we moved to Youngstown, Ohio, by virtue of my father's occupation, who was a cantor in the church, and we moved to the west side of Youngstown, Ohio. I attended schools, to the public school system at Washington School, and completed there. Attended Cheney High School. On completion of Cheney High School in 1944, my desire was to join the Navy, and this was during the course of World War II. And you might ask, why would I particularly like the Navy, being from the Midwest? I had had one uncle who had worked on the shipping lines at Great Lakes, and during the course of the summers, Ty tried to talk me into getting the job on the shipping lines. And I was always interested in sort of traveling on water and interested in Navy life. Although not permitted to do so, when the opportunity came in 1944, I volunteered to join the Navy. At that time, I had to wait because of the 18th birthday for the draft. I was then drafted, and on physical examination after passing, I selected the Navy as the draftee. Without any difficulty, we were giving our assignments. I was given the Navy and was very happy about it. My first real encounter with Navy, however, was during the high school when they had the V-12 program, V-5 programs, which I was not too interested from the standpoint of becoming a pilot, more involved and interested in becoming a member or a part of a ship in that regard. So when I first entered the Navy and went to Great Lakes, as a senior recruit, I was stationed at Green Bay area in Camp McDonough. Then we later moved to Camp Downs when they had the scarlet fever epidemic. I was also interested in pre-med, and at the time I finished high school with desire to become a doctor. So in the Navy I had the opportunity of becoming a corpsman. While in Green Bay and boot camp, so-called, I was given the opportunity to work at the dispensary every evening. And at the time, as I mentioned, we had the scarlet fever epidemic. We worked the dispensary every evening on our off hours, as well as doing our regular tasks in the barracks, and we worked for approximately 4 to 5 hours in the evening. And this only relinquished the fact that we did not have to stand guard duty from midnight till 8 o'clock in the morning, but did have to stand our own guard duty positions in rotation during the day. I enjoyed it very well, and then after the interview, following boot camp, I was assigned to Corps School at San Diego. While at Corps School, we lived in the tent area out at Balboa Park, which is now probably reconverted again back to Balboa Park, just south of the Naval Hospital at San Diego. We lived in a tent area there, and somewhat different, as one would expect for Navy life, being in tents and outdoors, although it was something different. It was very good. They had a very good course. And on completion of Corps School, we also had some amphib training. And it was thought that most boys from core school would either end up in the Fleet Marines or back at the hospital, depending on your grade average. Finishing pretty high in the class, I had a selection and choice of my own hospital, and I selected to come back to the East Coast at Philadelphia Naval Hospital. While at Philadelphia Naval Hospital, again, I could not really complain. I thought the Navy was very good to me, although they did not give me one opportunity I wanted. I kept volunteering for Fleet Marine Force, and I felt I wanted to get out of the Naval Hospital and in the Fleet Marines. And we could volunteer, but the personnel officer had to accept your volunteer assignment. And while I was there, I played football, baseball, basketball on the sport program there, representing the base. I was also involved in their boxing program. And to do that assignment, I was sent and worked in the operating room. I worked on the cancer floors. I worked in storeroom. I worked in various positions, finally completing it as an operating room technician. On completion of the war, we were discharged. And then I again returned to Great Lakes for separation. At that time, we spoke to a reservist who was trying to get people to join the Navy Reserve. I felt that my time in the Navy, I received good treatment. I enjoyed it. I had good experience, met a lot of good people, and I saw no reason why I shouldn't join the reserve program. And I wasn't sorry at that time for joining the reserve program. On completion of the separation, I came to Youngstown, and they tried to establish in 1946 a active reserve unit, which had 9 officers and 3 or 4 enlisted men. I think I was the second corpsman to join. A fellow by the name of Campbell was the first. He was second class. I was third class. And I joined the active reserve, which met at the bank building. Now, the unit was small, but I could see at that time, under the direction of Mr. Stansbury, and I can't remember his rank, but I somewhat remember the word commander at that time, and a lieutenant field, a chief Ferrani, who were the most active people, a Dr. Renner, who was the captain at that time, or commander and made captain later, was the physician. And we were responsible for the histories and physicals and also recruiting personnel. And I think this, again, showed the interest, because many of the men that joined were recruited by ourselves. I know I had my friend join and several other Navy people that lived on the west side. And it seemed to be sort of a chain-type reaction, because they in turn talked to other Navy people and joined. My brother joined the Navy as a result of my liking the Navy and became a radio man. And several of the neighbors, in fact, the group of 7 or 8 boys that were together, only one was in the Army and the rest were all Navy from that entire group of kids that hung around together. Following the joining of the reserve, the unit began to meet more frequently and became larger and met at South High. At that time, I was involved with schoolwork, and I was not a marked or active participant in the reserve program, although I did 2 weeks of active duty for training, in which we went to Bermuda on a transport, on an AK. And enjoyed the training. Now, some might say that there was not much for reserves to do. I worked in sick bay and was responsible for the sick bay area on my watch. And again, I met some fine people. In fact, the first class on that carrier, on that AK, was the first class that I ran into as a personnel officer when I was recalled back to the Korean War at Philadelphia Naval Hospital. And he was at that time working in the personnel office. Whether it be fortunate or not, through him, I became involved in, again, in the operating room, and then later, due through athletic program there, again, which I was involved in, I was transferred to the laundry and the storeroom, and I ran the storeroom. And this was done as temporary duty because I had applied for the officer's program.
Had you finished school? Where were you going to school at that time?
I had, in the interim, before going back on active duty, I had gone to Youngstown College in pre-med, and I completed my program in Youngstown, but was not, I had applied for medical school, and the year I applied for medical school, I had one more year to go for a degree. I completed the degree work, however, early, and just at the time I had applied for medical school, I was then recalled. So I went to the University of Pittsburgh, starting out at the University of Pittsburgh, and to complete that year, I went into bacteriology, and then recalled into the service during the Korean conflict.
Mm-hmm. You were still a third-class petty officer?
Third class. While at Philadelphia, I was third class, and I applied for the officer's training program in the Department of Intelligence and Underwater Demolition. Now, a conflict might come up here. I had been interviewed by my base captain. I was interviewed by the Admiral of the 4th Naval District. I was interviewed by the Bureau of Medicine and Surgery, who later became the chief of medicine and surgery in Washington, and they accepted me into the program. There was, however, a hitch. Being a first-generation American, I could not get into the intelligence department. One might say that you might become disenchanted with the Navy on the fact that you're an American and not accepted into their program and say, well, they're being discriminatory. I didn't feel this way. This was their rules, and I felt my first goal was that of becoming a doctor and primarily entering surgery, so that, specializing in surgery, so that really what offer in that regard in the Navy had probably I gotten into the Department of Intelligence and Underwater Demolition, which I liked, I probably would have not continued the desire to enter medical school. I was following dropping from that program because I did not wish to go into another department. I asked to be dropped. They sent me to Bainbridge, Maryland, and at that point I became second class, and I was I worked in the neuropsychiatric unit there as a job as a chauffeur for the CO of that unit. And he took an interest in me and wanted me to go to medical school at Hahnemann, where he graduated from. And I told him, no, I intended to go back to Ohio State, or to go to Ohio State, and that's where I had applied. During the Korean conflict, I again applied for Fleet Marine Force, and I never got it. Somehow, every time I applied for Fleet Marine Force, I was not one to be chosen. On the other hand, again, maybe this is fortunate. The boy that I was a very good friend with and played baseball and basketball with at Philadelphia Naval Hospital was selected in the Fleet Marine Force. He was second class, and they went every alternate name down the list. As second class, I was V, and his name was began with U. He was sent in the Fleet Marine Force. They made the landing at Incheon, in which he lost the leg. I was V and sent to Bainbridge. Now, as fortune would put it, again, those boys that were in the Fleet Marines made that landing, in which we lost quite a few friends. From there, the Korean War came to an end, and I was discharged from the service. I maintained my reserve status, And I applied to school at Ohio State and was accepted. Accepted to Ohio State. I tried to maintain reserve status for my reserve time, but was discharged by virtue of the fact that I did not affiliate with a reserve center. Although they had a reserve center in Columbus, the meeting time and the correlation with school, it did not fit in the requirement. So that I was told by a captain in the Navy Medical Corps that on completion of my time, even if I, due to the fact that I was not anticipating going on Navy duty, to join the reserve unit that I would intern in that town. I returned back to Youngstown in 1957, following graduation from Ohio State Medical School, and entered internship at St. Elizabeth's Hospital. Now, the influence here, again, were by meeting good quality Navy people. I met Dr. Clifford, who was the physician with the Navy Reserve Unit. I met Dr. Conti, who had formerly been a physician with the Reserve Unit. I met Dr. Meikle, who was a dentist with the Reserve Unit. And also I met Dr. Renner, who had been one of the previous physicians with the Reserve Unit. Each and every one of these people spoke highly of the Navy, and it did not take very much stimulate me to join the Navy Reserve. Now, the problem again was I was a resident in surgery, and to join a reserve unit, I probably could have, but at that time, it was not feasible due to our work schedule. Later on, this changed, and we were able to take residence, and I could see the change that we had made. And I waited till I completed my residency, and then I went into the unit as an active officer and continued. During the course of that time, we tried, Dr. Clifford worked diligently, and I must give him very much credit for the number of people that he truly got involved into the Navy Reserve program, and either that and or those people that later, through the Berry Plan, went Navy and went on active duty. I think this was the biggest stimulus in that direction. I joined the Navy unit here, and the first CO that I worked under was Captain Dinger. Also involved in that unit was Tom Petzinger, Sal Atteen, Milt Koshert, Tom Aiken from Pittsburgh. And I would have to say again that through meeting these people, and they were fine people, good quality people. Again, it only substantiated the fact that that you met good people in the reserve program, and I had no qualms. Now, I've heard many dissenting remarks, and uncomplimentary. I've heard criticism. They may be valid to the individuals making them. But I could say that through my endeavors and work with these people that I had met in this service, I could not go along with that. The program permitted me at that time to start a core school program, which I had always had interest in. We started a core school program, and we took boys with good GCT scores, and we put through Class A school a large number of corpsmen. Now, the number I cannot truly give, but we had corpsmen that went into Class A school and did well and scored well in Class A school, and not one corpsman was ever dropped out of Class A school under that program. Now, as you know, the government changes the program quite frequently. The reserve program then was altered from the Class A type program, which we had corpsmen. It went back to the usual routine of taking corpsmen coming back from active duty. Many of our corpsmen that had gone through Class A school had returned to our unit. Some we lost. But throughout, I think that the Corps the hospital corpsman and the hospital maid program here, I did turn out some fine people. And to our feeling, they were not ones that became disenchanted with the Navy program. During this time also, we picked up men that were residents in both Youngstown and St. Elizabeth's Hospital, and which joined active duty Navy program. They were they acted as reserve officers and received their commission in the reserve program here, and then further went on to active duty as Navy officers. Again, the number exceeds, I'm sure, of about 15 to 20 officers through that time. We also had men that had gone back and stayed on active duty and permanently as Navy medical officer. So that I would have to be very happy with accomplishments that we've made. There were also a number of boys that enlisted into the Navy program and stayed as hospital corpsman. So that the reserve program was not a program which contained or was told it had dead wood and did not serve a purpose. I think that it becomes an individual basis as to what you want to get out of it. The opportunities are there, and I can readily say that as I speak of opportunities, when I joined, I was a lieutenant, and through the course of my time with the reserve program, I reached the rank of captain. Every year I've gone on active duty as a officer for 2 weeks. I received deck officer privileges. Deck officer privileges as a watch officer, which was not a requirement of my position, but only through my own interest. I feel that if you have the interest and desire, the opportunity, as I said, is there, and certainly one can advance himself by virtue of his willingness and desire to learn more. Throughout the time that I went through Naval Hospitals, I've had the opportunity and a fortunate situation where I was able to do my time at Bethesda Naval Hospital, at the Bethesda Naval Medical Center, and working under good people, top quality individuals. Many times, again, just to regress, some say that service medicine is not good, or it lacks quality. This is not true. I found that through the opportunities they've given me, I was able to bring back to our own community hospital many new things that were being done, which I think would have taken time in, to bring them into the institution. But through my opportunity and being able to work with these people, I was able to utilize many of the new and current concepts, such as in burn therapy, in treatment of pulmonary embolism, shock treatment. There's, I don't think, a better shock unit than the one at Bethesda, and the work and research work that went into that, certainly it served a good purpose to the community here at Youngstown, where I was able to bring back and put into good use. Two of these are expensive items, and we had to cut corners to make them function, but it certainly served an excellent purpose. So that through the reserve program and meeting the people that I have met, I cannot say that it's not been of a useful purpose to me. Somewhat in this area, you can say that greed enters into it by virtue of the fact that you got out of it, but what did you put into it? Well, I think that through the reserve program, I've probably gotten more out of it. I put in some by virtue of my time, work with the unit. There are many more officers that have worked active duty wise in the line that have put more time than I have, and I hope and would certainly hope again by reinforcing that, that they have gotten the same things out of it that I have. I've been fortunate, and one might say that does patriotism require a reserve unit? Do we need reserve units? Do we need to have our armed forces relegated to a point where a reserve unit serves any useful purpose? I think that, again, this is what a country wants to do, or what an individual wants to do. I don't think it's necessary to have a unit as a reserve unit and feel that it is a military unit which will propagate or go out and seek war. I don't think that this is the purpose of a reserve unit. I think it has other interests. It should have a manpower situation which is available to the government when in time of need and emergency crisis. And certainly this is not asking too much to defend one's country and ask of oneself to serve. Again, it's a voluntary situation, and under a voluntary means, certainly one should realize what he's entering, and one should realize what he's going to get out of it and what one's going to put into it, so that this is truly serves some purpose in this regard. As to the type of people you'll meet, I don't think that one should ever think secondary or belittle the fact that we are meeting people in the military that they are second rate. This is not true. You're meeting people of top quality, people that are sacrificing not only virtue of monetary value, but also sacrificing for the standpoint of defense of the nation. Again, it's not being or waving the flag in a direction that one might think today is corny. It's not corny at all. But again, when in time of need, one becomes totally happy when the results are in favor of, again, a peaceful nation, or in regards to a point where one can rest in a situation and saying, well, I don't have to worry that we're going to be invaded and or be militarized. So that, again, it serves a purpose in this direction.
How do you feel that the corpsmen especially, but the Naval Reserve have been accepted here in the city of Youngstown?
I think the Navy Reserve here in Youngstown is pretty fortunate. I'm speaking from Youngstown alone. I've never compared it with another unit in another town. I think we're pretty well accepted here. I think that the number of Navy people that have come into this community as leaders, as yourself in the units, have done a very excellent job in public relations. I think that this is well shown by the number of men that join the Navy from this area, the number of men that are retained into the Navy, the number of people that return to the unit and serve. I think we should well realize that it's going to be an attrition rate. We're going to find a number of people that don't want it, a number of people that aren't involved in it. But again, that percentage is to be accepted. We can't accept 100%, but certainly the amount of people involved have always turned out and done a good job. And I think the reserve unit has always done an acceptable job in the community. It's not one that has ever reflected in the community's eyes as being not cooperative, functional, and any time that it's been asked to promote or to do a job in the community, it's done a good job, and it's done an effective job and an acceptable one.
How do you find the in the medical fields? Are any of these people accepted to work in the medical fields here in town?
I find that the boys have had good training in the Navy, and of course those boys that worked as paramedics in the lab, x-ray and operating room and ward work have probably found it difficult, because community hospitals are oriented toward nursing personnel, towards trained personnel of their own program. And of course now the Navy has certified its technicians in both radiology and laboratory, so the job is going to be easier. I find, too, that the men that were in the Navy did the job and did it well. They were conscientious. They were sincere. I can't say as a corpsman that the responsibility that I was given as a Navy corpsman, that I didn't have pride, because every job we did, we had pride. And with that pride, you carried out the fact that you were taking care of a fellow Navy a man in regard to either an officer or an enlisted man, and you did the job to the best of your ability because you had that opportunity, and you gave your best efforts to see that they got well and were able to return to active duty. This in itself was part of that team effort that many speak about today in medicine. I don't find this to be new. I think this is what the Navy had years and years ago. It had it in World War II. It was a team effort. It was a team of corpsmen, nurses, doctors working together to provide good medical care for its people. And hey, they're only utilizing what was done many, many years ago in a different type of verbiage in a different sense. But when you really come down to it, that's what it really was. These boys weren't trained in school. They weren't trained in colleges to become Navy lab techs or Navy corpsmen or Navy X-ray techs. They were trained by the Navy in a course that took a period of 8 weeks to indoctrinate you as a corpsman. And then when you went to OR tech school, it took 3 months. But that 3 months you worked and you did the job. And certainly those people deserve a lot of credit for setting up a program in that direction. And this is just exactly what we're going through today in our community hospital, in a paramedic program. So that my feeling is, if we really need good paramedics, there would be no doubt in my mind where I would go in what direction I would head to find those people.
Going back to the reserve type things, could you just give me an idea what you did at those first meetings when you came back in the 40s?
Well, I'll tell you, we sat and we listened, and we never thought it would get off the ground too well. You can imagine meeting in a lawyer's office in the Union National Bank building with about, we were officer heavy, 9 officers and approximately maybe 4 enlisted men. As we sat there, week in and week out, you would find another man trickle in, and then, as I said, the meetings were changed later to South High. But the conversation was always in the direction of trying to, what efforts had to be taken to increase the numbers? What efforts had to be made to eventually put the unit into a successful function and successful situation? I would have to say that the officers, I can only remember a few of them. One of them was Mr. Anderson. He was a coach in football at South High. The other, Mr. Stansberry, and then 2 attorneys, of which sort of slipped my mind this time. But these people worked hard, and I would have to say to Lieutenant Field, who was the active duty officer, a lieutenant at that time, and Chief Ferrani, who I'll never forget, because he was a pretty good influence and a very good stimulus to the Navy program here through his public relations as a enlisted man, did a marvelous job in promoting the Navy program. And it didn't seem to take too long to get started. The early meetings were just purely verbal sessions of trying to get people to join the unit and recruiting. There was no formal type of training for anybody. As a corpsman, I received no formal training, and neither did Campbell, who was the second class. The primary purpose was recruitment, and we were primarily recruiters at that time. And once the program was established and the numbers increased, then we went into formal sessions in our units as corpsmen and doing the responsible work of corpsmen. The doctors were doing the physicals. Primarily, that's all that was the requirement. then the educational facility came about by virtue of us going for 2 weeks active duty and returning to hospitals or whatever choice we had made for our active duty program.
How did you actually become an officer?
I became an officer through the captain, who again was from Youngstown, by the name of Captain Z. And he had talked me into joining the Navy when I was in medical school. And when I returned, I went to Pittsburgh to the Navy recruitment office and applied for the Medical Corps commission. And went through the formality which was required. And I would have to say the influencing factor here was Captain Z, who now works as a retired physician in one of the hospitals here in the clinic. I would have to say that he did a very good job. He would go from Ohio State to the other medical schools in this area and try to recruit people to join active duty-wise. Well, I had had active duty already in the Navy, so it was not necessary for me to go back. And actually, the new chief of surgery at Bethesda Naval Hospital was a classmate of mine who operated on Mrs. Ford for cancer of the breast, was a classmate of mine at Ohio State, Dr. Foudy. He joined the Navy. And if I remember correctly, out of our class, four or five men went into the Navy as active duty officers. And Captain Foudy was one of them, and he's made a career of the Navy, and he's now chief of surgery and captain at the Navy Medical Center at Bethesda Naval Hospital. And it was, I think, through the efforts of Dr. Z, who came around and was recruiting for the Navy.
Was he on active duty or was he a reserve?
He was a reservist who, at that time, had the rank of captain, and would go around from school to school. Now, I don't know whether he was on active duty as an officer. I remember him from being from Youngstown and practicing medicine in Youngstown. I think he was a reservist. And he volunteered his time and did this as part of his obligation.
Now, after you became an officer and joined the unit under Commander Dinger, what was your assignment at that time?
I was assigned as the medical officer to the unit, and Dr. Clifford was the senior medical officer. And at that time, also, I was the physical fitness officer. Now, that was a chore, because as physical fitness officer, I had to have, I was responsible for all the physical fitness of all the enlisted and officer personnel. And of course, at that time, everybody was gung-ho on how many push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, how far you could run, and how far you could jump, and so forth. And I kept these records. And we had to do them quarterly. Now, as a medical officer, although I'm interested in physical fitness, and I don't know how I became involved in this area, but I had to go around, and I could say that I received more notes, one is not able to do this, and be excused, and when we had to find out how many personnel could do it, and the number of over 38, and we were worried about coronaries in the officer ranks. It was an interesting job, but truly, I was not happy in doing that job. I was more interested in starting that Corps school in the Class A school unit. And I was also responsible for teaching and giving lectures to the corpsmen, so that when we met once a week on Monday night, I had to give, out of the three-hour meeting session, an hour and a half lecture to the corpsmen. And of course, we had corpsmen of various rates, starting from HN all the way through to HM1. So you had to vary your lecture and teaching assignments. So what I would do is lecture approximately 45 minutes to the third class and HN, and then to the second class and first class, I would give another lecture session of 45 minutes. And through this, we were giving continuing education to them. It also helped from the standpoint of my own time, because I would have to read and maintain a degree of knowledge in order to promote and keep in view of what they needed in order so that they could be advanced in rate. And this was our primary purpose. And I must say that we did advance our boys in rate, and we have a pretty good record in that area in the medical department.
Your core school, was this a program the Navy thought up, or was this something that you, along with the people here, came up with?
No, this was the Navy program at that time. You had to have a facility that could train and start boys for Class A school. And that was the Navy program at that time. And we did have the facility. We had a Navy nurse with us on hand. We had three physicians and a dentist, so that we were qualified to start a Class A core school unit. And we did that under the Navy supervision. We complied with their program. As I say, we turned out a good number of boys into the Class A school system. It was the old Navy enlistment program, 2x6. You went into the Navy for 2 years active duty, and you maintained 6 years total with 4 years reserve program status.
I see. Were all these people in pay status, all the nurses and everything at that time?
Everyone was under a pay status. Once you reached the rank of commander, you dropped out of the unit as anyone else. But all personnel were under pay status.
Have you in the medical branch had any problem with pay status or non-pay status or that type of thing?
Yes, we were fortunate enough through those men who had been previously in the Navy. We were bringing them back as they were discharged and into the unit. At one time, we had more medical officers than we had line officers. And we were overabundant at that time. But we, through myself and other personnel in the medical unit, Dr. Meikle, went out and recruited dentists and also medical officers. We had as high as 6 medical officers and 5 dental officers under our direction. And actually, we could have gone even higher. We also had good, always, and I must say this, always good active duty corpsmen serving us at the unit.
I can't say enough for the Navy personnel that was sent here in corpsmen. They were either first class and or chiefs in serving us on active duty. They've done a tremendous job, and I can't recollect any time that we ever had an inspection from the Philadelphia area that we did not score well and do well. And this is a credit to them. It also reinforces my thinking of the Navy that the men that were involved in the medical program had a lot of pride and did a good job. And certainly, I think it would be difficult for a man who was on active duty in the Navy, serving 20 years or to retirement, to have to come to an area of Youngstown. And not that I'm belittling Youngstown, but in his duties as a naval individual, providing a lot of enthusiasm working with reserves. But I must say that these men all did well. We are proud of every one of them. And to the present day, who we have Crittenden, who is a first class who is about to leave us, who has worked well with us on another program, which we try to get the Navy to promote, where corpsmen would work on their duty weekend in the community hospital. And we would love to see this program come through. It has its tremendous capabilities. I'm sure that in due time we could have a large number of corpsmen in the unit from this area rejoin and would be willing to work weekends, as well as in the future if we could even possibly have 2-week Navy duty program where they would stay at home and work in the hospitals in the community. Certainly this would be an excellent program, and as I say, our present Corman, Crittenden, has done a tremendous job in working out some of the administrative work, which shows and gives credit to the Navy for the type of individual they have.
Just to change the subject slightly, can you recall any social activities or activities with the other officers at the center that you've become involved with, in particular?
Well, I would have to say our social activities were always of the highest quality. They maintained a ad libitum, a flow of a spiritus fermenti, and good camaraderie. I think that the Russian would have to go a great degree farther in order to surpass our events. And this again speaks well of the type of communication one might have, because we always had a very good time, and I would have to say it was something to look forward to every year. And this not only was involved from the standpoint of wetting down parties for advancement in rank, but just to get together and meet. Men from different occupations got together, and their families, and as I say, always enjoy themselves. And again, it's the type of individual you meet in a service, and you were happy to be associated with. I would have to say that the Navy enlisted parties, in which we had events that were held at the unit, and outside events as picnics and social events, were always very successful. And it showed that the people did have a great deal of respect for one another and enjoyed socializing with one another.
How does your family accept your time you put in? I realize a doctor spends a lot of time out anyway, but how do they accept this Navy time?
I think they accept it very well. They've been sort of brought up in it, and of course you see Navy articles around the house, you see Armed Forces magazines coming home. I think that they're proud of it. I think that every step in rank that I've advanced, they've served, they also show the same deal of pride and happiness that one would have in achieving that rank. During the Vietnam War, one might say that did they have differences that America should not be involved in. Here, I being an officer in the Navy Reserve, what my thoughts were. I didn't hear dissenting remarks. I think there was a great pride brought about, and they too have a great pride in their nation. I think that every holiday that's national, the flag is put out of the house, and oddly enough, it's not put out by myself or my wife, it's put out by the children. So that they too respected my desire and my service with the United States Navy Reserve Program. And they do too have that same feeling that I have. So that they're not discontent by the amount of time that I put in. In fact, when I come home from 2 weeks Navy duty, they want to know what went on and who I met and what happened and whether I enjoyed myself. And truly, I think that they have accepted it. In fact, my boy is now going to Ohio State as a graduate from Ursuline High School, and he's thinking of joining the ROTC. And I don't know which branch he'll join, but this indicates that he too has the same respect in regard to the armed forces that I have.
Doctor, on any of your 2 week cruises or any of that, can you remember any of these stories that went along with them? Could you relate to any specific story?
Well, one that comes to my mind very clearly. I had gone for 2 weeks on the USS Barton, which was a destroyer, and there was a destroyer activity going on in a Puerto Rican area. While we were en route to Puerto Rico, we were in the storm for approximately 5 days and five nights, and during the course of this time, the water was so rough that we had lost plating or shielding off our gun mounts, also had torn off the plates around the ship. Now, during the course of this time, one of the chiefs had fractured a leg. And in breaking his leg, we were going to reduce the fracture. Now, as you can see, we had, in the storm, the sick bay area in a destroyer is very small. So at midship, which is an opening between one side, the right to the left side, in midship, we had set up a table and giving him morphine, we reduced the fracture, put on a cast without x-ray, the benefit of x-ray, and we reduced his fracture, put it on, and casted him and took him back down below deck, carrying him down while the cast was drying. The next day, we came into the Puerto Rican area. A tugboat picked us up in a storm. And it's, you have to realize how rough water can be in this tugboat bouncing around. And we lowered him into a tugboat, and I myself got into the tugboat, and we went into Puerto Rico, which was no better at that time because the Navy dispensary was closed, and a storm was in Puerto Rico. We were then transferred to an Army hospital, Rodriguez Hospital, which is now closed, and lightning struck the place, the power plant, and their power was out. We arrived there at night, approximately about 10 o'clock. The power unit in their x-ray department was run by one of the field units, by a hand unit, and the orthopod on duty was a graduate of the University of Pittsburgh, and he had done his orthopedic residency in Pittsburgh, so it was like old home week. And with no power, the girl sitting at this power unit, turning it, Puerto Rican girl, pumping this power unit, we were able to take an x-ray. The orthopod said, how did you reduce this? And I had gone through this sequence as I had just finished. And he looked, he said, Mike, he said, hell, you got a perfect reduction. We don't have to do anything. He said, take him back tomorrow morning, or you want to take him back tonight, back over to San Juan, the Navy base. And he said, put him up, he said, over there. I said, fine, sorry with me. Tomorrow I'll get an x-ray at the Navy dispensary. So that night we came back and put the chief up in the chief's quarters, and I myself tried to get bedding or quarters. I went over to the bachelor officer quarters, which was entirely filled, and fortunately, at that time, a Navy admiral was making an investigation in the Puerto Rican base there at San Juan. As I was standing at the desk trying to get quarters, gave me quarters with his personnel in the BOQ. Now, you know, you have to sort of reflect back, but this is the type of people, as I have said throughout, you meet in the Navy. The next morning, we went over to the dispensary, got the x-ray taken of the chief's foot, and it was perfect. We had to do no refracture, no re-reduction. The cast was on in good shape, and we then waited for the ship to make port from maneuvers. And when the ship came in, I must recollect that the Barton was the last one to get in, and you must understand why we call it, there was a nickname for that ship, the Fartin Barton, because every other destroyer was in port, and along comes the Barton, finally. And we were back on, the chief was put back on ship, and after a weekend in Puerto Rico, came back to Philadelphia. But I think this probably stands out as one of the vivid memories. I always liked rough water. In fact, when I received junior deck officer privileges on the bridge, was through a storm in the Georgian Bay area on a destroyer escort. In fact, I believe your brother was the CO of that famous, the USS Whitehall, which was out of Cleveland. And again, as I say, many interesting good times with Navy. But that was one that I'll never forget.
Well, thank you, Doctor, and thank you for the interview. I appreciate it, and they'll send you a copy of the transcript.
Thank you.